put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Everybody, I'm Sophie, and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. We like to talk about anything around here, from parenting and money issues to sex and dating. Lots of stuff. Today we're talking man-woman communication type stuff, which is one of my favorite things.
I prefer sex. But okay, whatever you want.
Maybe
whatever
a little talking before the sex might help, a little communicating,
what?
You know, whatever. Anyway,
what
yeah.
For?
So, okay. So, you know, hopefully you might learn a little something along the way, not from Tom. Okay, so... I'm a psychologist, life coach, and mother of two, author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. You can find that on Amazon. I'm truly passionate about helping people live authentic and joyful lives. So please hit me up for some advice and email me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com.
Do it now.
I love questions, so send me them. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm really happy to be able to offer you a free workbook. I've been working on this for a while now. I'm also trying to keep... the masses over here settled. All right. Anyway, I've been working on this for a while now. God, this is gonna be
it's gonna be tough work today.
It's gonna be tough. It's called God, I can't even focus. Goal Setting and Life Rescripting Workbook. Okay. I introduced the idea of rescripting in MILF 101. But you don't have to read MILF 101 to understand it because I include a version of the chapter in there. And so it kind of stands on its own. And it's really cool. So it's a really good tool. It'll help you through this process. And you can start on your own getting clarity and setting goals and figuring out what you want your life to look like. And it's free.
Wait, how much did you say it costs?
It's free.
Oh.
You're killing me, Larry.
Go to makeyourlifefabulous.com and enter your email and you'll get a link to your free workbook. I'm flanked by men today, which is, you know, why my job is going to be so hard. But I love it. On my left, I've got the quickly becoming too famous to hang out with me, Todd Anderson in the Peanut Gallery.
Hey, how's it going? Super famous.
On my right, I have my handsome and well-educated guest today. It is someone both men and women are going to want to listen to. He was here actually a few months ago, and we want to know more. So he's been a therapist in private practice for 12 years. It's probably 13 now.
Mm-hmm.
And is in the business of saving marriages by working with husbands. His colleagues have been known to call him the husband whisperer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? And so, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Ken Newelt. Woo!
Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Or should I say... How do you think your day is going today? Is that a little less feely? Is that better?
Yes, that's less. That's very much more on point. Although my corpus callosum is very heavily developed, so
it's really oversharing. So when you say you're in the business of saving marriages, yes, it is. When you say you're in the business of saving marriages by working with husbands, we're not saying that like you're fixing the husbands and that it's all their fault or anything. Men are generally underrepresented and need like some coaching before marriage counseling.
Exactly.
Right?
In fact, you know, one of the things we talked about last time was this pattern of distress that I was noticing in men in the practice.
Yes.
And what's coming up for them is a certain series of symptoms that seem to be attached to dissatisfaction and feeling of, you know, blah, who am I in my relationship? And so a lot of the times what I'm doing with them is actually preparing them for couples therapy because they're coming in because their wife wants them to go to couples therapy and they're not quite sure that they even want to do individual therapy, let alone couples. So I do a lot of work with them, helping them with language, helping them to get grounded, helping them to validate a lot of their feelings and normalize a lot of things for them. So,
and maybe helping them figure out how to express those issues because they might not have the words for them.
How to transfer them as you were joking before about thinking. I very rarely will say, how do you feel to a guy in therapy? I will say, well, what do you think about that? What's your reaction to that?
How did you think that might go?
How did you expect that to go? Mm-hmm. I talk about things that are basically cerebral, and then I will point out to them that what they're actually using are feeling words, and it makes them more comfortable. It's a little bit of a slower introduction, and they get, you know, they get used to it, and get them prepared for doing personal work or couples.
Or couples therapy. Because, yeah. you know, chicks, we're kind of trained to talk about our feelings. You know, like, we're just going to do it all day long.
You have to trick men.
Well, I mean, we're... Yeah. Well,
it's wiring.
I mean, I mean, I know there's... Yeah, there's wiring.
See, she won't stop talking.
No, she won't. About her feelings.
About her feelings.
Mostly.
Yes, we are wired that way, and we really grow up that way, just talking about our feelings constantly. And apparently, I talk too much. So you gentlemen, just go ahead.
How do you think you feel about that? I'm sorry. How do you feel about that?
Maria, help me.
Did you hear that? How do you think you feel about that?
How do you think you feel about that? I love that. I love that. You know, we could just end here.
That would be a good t-shirt.
We could, yeah, exactly. We could just end that here.
On your website.
Right? Yeah. Let's make those and see if they sell. So she said to him, she says, how do you think you feel about that?
See? Yeah.
See?
You have to say
and
see.
He said, I'm going to get a sandwich and I'll come back
I think
in.
I'm hungry.
I want to, feel like I think I want to watch TV.
So, yeah. Or a horror movie. Right. So,
Have you seen Saw 6?
Honey, no. I have not seen.
Is that the one?
Oh my
that's
god!
In 3D?
If you heard the show prior, like last week's, you would be like, "No, she hasn't seen Saw 6. She won't even look at the cover of the DVD." Like,
yes,
I know, I will have nothing to do with that.
Okay,
he loves that shit.
I love it.
Yeah,
great.
This is something we disagree on, but can still love each other as yeah. friends. Okay, so talk to me about how these. Okay, I have one question though
yeah.
before this.
Yeah.
So. Do you get a lot of people coming in as a couple and then you sort of suggest that maybe you do some sessions separately, or do you kind of get the man sort of stumbling in going, I'm not sure why I'm here?
I get you know what? That's a really good question. I get a little bit of everything. Sometimes okay. I will actually get the wives or the girlfriends calling on behalf of mm-hmm. their partner,
yeah.
Trying to do a little exploring and feeling me out and deciding whether or not, you know, they can get their guy to go to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also get men who are just absolutely at their wit's end that are looking for a therapist at 1 o'clock in the morning and they're, you know, mm-hmm. doing the computer thing. I get couples that come in, and then usually when couples come in, they're he's dragged in.
Mm,
you know,
yeah.
So I'm prepared for that, because in rare instances is the guy who says, you know, honey, let's go. It happens with domestic violence cases, but that's something else.
Yeah.
But let's go into couples therapy. It's usually the female partner. And more often than not, they're used to going into couples counseling with a female therapist.
Right.
And that can
right.
be a really different experience mm-hmm. because we do things differently. And
yeah.
so...
How do you do things differently?
Well, you know, she was joking about it before, about the language is really a big thing, because you know, therapists will talk about feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, "How did that make you feel?" And very often you get the deer in the headlights reaction, because men, well, I'm not going to get into the biology of the brain, but it's easier for us to think about solutions than it is to connect feelings and thoughts.
And he's moving his finger.
I'm
over
moving
his
my
head
fingers
right here,
across
connecting
my head.
The two
See,
sides
men,
of the brain.
Men think from back to front, and women think from side to side when it goes into any kind of solution, kind of an issue. So
both are valid.
Both are valid, and sometimes we meet in the middle, because that's just what happens. We'll actually have a moment of bing communication.
Right.
But for the most part, there is a difference, because in therapy with females, female therapists, they'll be asked about their feelings, and men will naturally feel cornered, because they've got now two women asking them how
yeah.
they feel about things.
Yeah.
And the language I use is, well, as I was saying before, what was your reaction to what she said? What did you think of that situation? How might that have gone differently? So the other thing, too, is that men tend to be very visceral in their language
mm-hmm.
when they talk in therapy, like, you rip my heart out,
mm-hmm.
you know, you might as well just tear my head off my shoulders, you know, things like this. And
speaking of Saw Six,
and you've got right, exactly.
Well, but that's interesting because you were asking always. It's a callback around here all the time.
Right. Always.
So what you were saying though, which is very interesting, because you then point out to them that they're using feeling words, is that you might ask them a cerebral question, but they actually, when not feeling pressured to answer an emotional question, they actually answer with feelings. Pretty clear feelings. A pretty clear expression of their feelings.
They'll come up with a general feeling word, and then I will try to help them narrow it down or break it down into, well, okay, you were feeling frustrated. What was it that was frustrating? And so forth. But so anyway, that's really the difference between sometimes going into a situation with a female therapist and a male therapist. And I'm speaking for myself truly, because I know that there are a number of male therapists that do go right to the feelings words, and this is just what I found works really, really well for my population.
Yeah, well, I think when you really do want help, you're kind of drawn to the right person. You know, you find the right teacher essentially in life, and I think you're
agreed.
But I do think that your approach with men and with couples is so important, because I do think, like, stereotypically you could say, oh, the women are dragging them into couples therapy because they want you to fix him and change him. But I also, I also think that what they really want is to connect with him. They want to both be plugged into the household. They do want to feel heard and understood, and they really, on some level, want to know how to understand their husband. So there is a desire to fix the relationship and not just him.
Yes, the word is definitely there, sometimes with a small f, sometimes with a capital F.
Yeah.
But for a guy, when he's dragged into, quote-unquote, dragged into therapy, he immediately sees himself... I better stop talking with my hands. He immediately sees himself... if I smack you, I'm really sorry.
It's all good.
He immediately
I'm not
sees
really into that though, just for the record.
Okay,
go ahead.
That's too bad. He immediately sees himself as I don't know, as being damaged. You know, he's perceiving that something
he's
needs
the
to
identified
be fixed
patient.
About. He's the IP. Something needs to be fixed about him. The focus is on him. And so even though it may be just about learning how to connect, for him it's perceived as, I need to be fixed.
Right. Of course. Right. Yes. And so, but I think that you're able to approach that and expand on what needs to happen without really calling her out too hard on that, and keeping everybody feeling like they can be there.
No, that's
safely.
Absolutely true. I mean, I wouldn't want anybody to think that she's pathologized because of she's bringing him in
to be fixed. Yeah,
to be fixed. But I think it's just about communication breakdown and finding the common, getting to what the issues are. Mm-hmm. And then going from there so they can communicate with each other.
Yeah. Well, you have a little project here that
I do.
Wanted me to work on.
I do.
Okay.
So one of the things.
What's happening?
I don't know. I'm surprised.
What
too.
Is happening, you guys?
Very exciting.
Okay. Oh, this is so exciting. I always wanted to do a radio show or act something out.
Welcome to MILF Talk Theater. Okay.
Never mind.
Okay.
Okay, well, we've talked about the topic, and there's so much to talk about with regard to why good men leave. And one of the things I'd like to review is, we've discussed this before, is the things that men really, really need. She's already laughing.
Sorry.
Why good men leave makes her laugh?
Why
is she reading the script?
She's reading the script.
No, I'm sort of checking
I thought it was a cold reading.
Sorry. Hey.
You're
okay.
Cheating.
Cheating.
Jesus.
I only read a couple sentences.
Men need some very basic things in a relationship to feel good about the relationship.
Like blowjobs.
That's on
for
the
sure.
list.
That's number
but,
one,
but
right?
that's part of actually feeling desired by your partner.
Ah,
that's
right.
And feeling desired by your partner. And
so is going downtown,
like,
by the way.
It's right. Thank you.
No better way to make you feel wanted. Just saying. Go ahead.
Right. Woo-wee. Take the... Never mind.
Yeah, okay.
So, yes, that's exactly true. It's about being desired. It's about being admired and respected.
Mm-hmm.
And they also need to feel like they can protect their partner if the situation arises, and that they can provide for their partner. Now, protecting may be going out in the middle of the night when it's dark and with a broomstick and finding out what that noise is out
there.
Or
something as simple as, which my boyfriend always insists of doing, is he walks on the
curb.
Yeah, he walks on the curb.
So the horse and carriage will splash him.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
So the horse, the horse and carriage will splash mud onto.
That is the little simple bits of chivalry that satisfy both people. I feel. It's not like I can't walk on the curb.
No, I do that too.
It makes him feel good.
Chivalrous. What do you do?
Do the right thing and protect me that way.
What do you do when you're dealing with the going out and finding out what the noise is? And you, as a man, when you discover the possum growling at you in the garage, scream in a really high-pitched way and run out of the garage going, possum! 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 And your wife is standing on the back porch laughing hysterically at your reaction to a possum.
Mm-hmm. You give her the broomstick and send her in the garage.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I did the right thing. I just wanted to make sure I did the right thing. Thank you.
There we go. Okay. Validated.
So,
see that? I validated.
Right. You totally did.
Well
done.
You
totally did. Yes.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about why good men leave, and in connection with what they actually need in their relationship. So what I did was I wrote out a couple of
all of them.
Yeah. Well, there's only.
Okay.
Three or
should we just
four
do them
shorties.
All in a row and then talk about them, or should we do one and then talk about it?
Well, at the end of each one, there are some comments.
There's a little discussion.
There's a little bit of discussion. I like this. But these are reenactment of real arguments that have been presented to me in session by couples or related to me by the husband, and then we processed afterwards how it left that party feeling. Believe
okay.
me. Okay, clear
okay.
it up. Clear the
throat. Got it, I'm ready.
Okay, so now the first one is a situation where he has done the laundry without being asked to surprise her. Okay?
He's done the laundry.
She didn't ask him to do the laundry, but he's done the laundry to surprise her while she was out. And she comes in and she says,
Robert, for heaven's sake, why are the towels folded like that?
How do you fold towels?
You don't. They won't fit in the closet unless you roll them. Don't tell me you've never noticed.
And he responds with silence.
Yeah, because he did the laundry.
Okay? Did I do okay?
You were great,
exactly.
But like,
thank
you're
you.
A horrible wife.
Well, no, you see, this is your... This is about the subtlety of this, because to her it really wasn't a big deal to make the comments that she made.
Sure.
Right, like, don't tell me you've never noticed. Right. I mean, they're always rolled. You always go and get a rolled towel from the cabinet.
Sure.
Right.
See,
how come
I totally
you don't
know
notice.
How to run with this, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you know how to go with this one. But the bottom line is he's left feeling inept, feeling disrespected, unappreciated, and finally he's been sideswiped by that last comment of don't tell me you've never noticed. That was an absolute sideswipe.
Yeah, that was rough.
And so
that was
bad
rough.
Enough,
Sophie, think before you talk.
Yeah, really.
You know that every time you go to the cupboard, Todd, when you get a towel, it's rolled and not folded. Every day of your life. For what? 11 years?
Yeah, and maybe I never liked it that way. Okay. I was trying to change things.
See, you had an agenda. Okay, go. Sorry.
This is out of control.
Okay.
In scenario number two, his parents have offered to buy
what would be a better way for me to respond? Right?
Okay, why don't we improvise?
How would you have liked that to go, Ken? Or Robert?
How
Or Robert, you're Robert. How would you go? Yeah. How would
that's
you
my
like
middle
that?
Name. It's weird if you call
name.
Me by my middle name.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Go.
How would I like to have gone?
Yeah, how would you like
I would have liked, if I were Robert, I certainly would have liked the acknowledgement that I had. Because you know what? So this is the way men show their love in their relationships. It's the little things like this that they do to try to show that they're thinking of their partner.
But that's to say that the laundry is not your job at all, and that you're doing it as a special thing. So why is it special that you've done the laundry?
No, we're not talking about it being special that we did the laundry. We're talking about it special that he wasn't asked to do something, and he did it. So, this is not about division.
I'm with you, okay? But I can see the argument being like, I shouldn't have to ask. He's not a child. He's a grown up in the house with responsibilities to do laundry. I know. Penis done. Right.
Oh, there was an erection problem because of the laundry?
Okay,
we're not talking about
one.
You, okay? So we're talking about... So
it caused one.
Right. So, however...
However?
If whenever anybody in the house does the laundry, there would be a level of appreciation, mm-hmm. that would be nice. Mm-hmm. Instead of bitching about how the towels are folded.
Or she could have said... Honey, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. Come back in here. Come with me and let's talk. And she unrolls one and she unfolds it and rolls it up.
How was your day?
And shows him and he does it. And the two of them are doing it side by side. And they go in the cabinet and things are fine.
Right.
He doesn't leave feeling like he's done something wrong, like he's been scolded, chided, embarrassed, etc. It's a very, very simple thing, but these little things are the things that happen all the time.
I'm going to throw this out there really fast because my wife and I have had this very problem. She hates the way I fold laundry. She hates it. I don't do it well. Here's what we do.
Okay.
We do our own laundry. Mm-hmm. How about
we do our own laundry?
Yeah. Woo! Okay, but that's two grown-ups. That's why you're still married. So,
yeah.
But here's
do
the
each
thing.
Do you have separate checking accounts?
No, we have a joint checking account. Mm-hmm. But I do most of the house cleaning. Mm-hmm. And we split the yard work. We do laundry separately. We take turns doing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it works for you.
Yeah.
And that's what matters.
Yep. Yes. They're still happy and they're still... sexually active.
And that's what matters.
Right. So
we're
everybody's getting
about,
their needs met. But here in this little thing, right, there's this little magic moment here, okay, in what you just said, okay? Mm-hmm. She says, oh, sweetie, thank you so much for doing the laundry. Can I show you something?
Yeah.
And he comes back in. He's been thanked, so that's good, right?
Would you roll them this way for me and stick them in the closet?
Just so you know, we actually have to roll them because that's
so
the only way that they all fit in the closet. And so
Absolutely. So
instead of folding it here, you just roll it from there.
Absolutely.
Okay. And he
Do you
has
really
to,
need that
he
many
be,
towels or
I don't
is
know,
it a really small
really,
closet?
But here's the thing. And he has to have a strong enough ego that he can go not have to say like, okay, well, I guess I can't do anything right. Okay. At that point.
But even if
she's being nice, because some people will still respond to that way because their ego is hurt. Right?
Because they've been, but usually that's because they've been used to getting that kind
of feedback.
So there's
like a history.
So they already have the resentment built in, and they will say in session, you know, I tried this weekend. I actually did the laundry, and she still made me roll them after. So even if...
It's like, because she still wants them rolled, because that's still the only way they fit into the cupboard.
That's the only way they'll fit into the cupboard.
So let's get rid of some doubts. I go through this with my daughters, to be honest with you. It's like, but you always say that, and you always do that. And it's like, oh, okay. At some point, we need to agree that we're trying to do better and have some trust.
Right.
Right?
Very good.
Okay, so what's the next thing here?
Okay, the next one, his parents have offered them a gift of a new washer dryer. And she says...
I don't want your parents buying things for us. We're adults.
He's laughing because... I talked to his wife, and I got the script from his wife. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And he says, it's their way of showing their love for us.
We could have had a new washer dryer last year, but my income paid for the new roof.
Well, then you tell them you don't want the gift. Okay. So now, at this, why were you laughing?
I'm laughing because out of the gate, Sophie's wife, what's the wife's name?
I don't know. She.
She. She's like angry out of the gate about everything thus far. A gift? Why are you mad about a gift, Sophie?
Because I don't want your parents buying us things like that.
Why not?
Because it makes me feel like I'm not a grown up.
Oh.
Like I can't afford my own washer dryer.
You
don't
like getting free stuff?
Dude, I love getting free stuff. I got my mom's jacuzzi.
Honey, this is the queen of swag bags. Listen.
If my parents gave me anything like that, I would be so happy and so admired.
We're totally spending the money on vacation. Yeah.
But here's the thing. With the message that he's getting is that, especially with the roof comment, is you – you know, you're not a good provider.
Right, right.
You're not like, a good provider. Like, you should be able to buy us this washer dryer, but we had to actually even use my income, which men never do, by the way. They never say that to their spouses.
I know, it's very rare, yes.
What do they not say?
They what usually women will say, it was my money that bought us the carpeting. It was my money that got the house painted. It was my money that put the kid through school.
Oh.
It was my money. And
meanwhile, the man's money is the default money.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The man is the ATM. You know, he just sticks his tongue out and the car goes in. But...
If I could barf money, I wouldn't be talking to you people right now.
Okay, go. Sorry, gotta stay on track.
Stay on track.
This is totally gonna be a 2-part show. We're never gonna get this done in one show.
No, I think we will.
Okay.
So that the bottom line is that he's left feeling resentful, and he's getting the message that he's not a good provider.
Right.
Just in that one little exchange. And usually there's an indication, you know, for a guy, he gets it. You may have said that perfectly without any anger. Mm-hmm. You know, she may have said that without any anger. It still would have been felt the same way.
Uh-huh.
So.
Why don't you stop it, Sophie?
No, I need to be nicer.
Just like, what gives? All right, so.
Feeling like a horrible person.
Should we do number three?
Yes, let's do number three. Well, I guess what I kind of wanted to look at, like. So would the goal then to be to have her understand why it hurts him. It's about her ultimately coming around to accept the gift or not,
mm-hmm.
instead of it maybe if he were to hear her say, it makes me feel like I'm not a full grown-up if I have to ask your parents to buy me stuff. And I am a grown-up because, look, we have a new roof because I worked and I just need to feel like I have some efficacy.
And then he still feels like he's not a good provider.
Right. However, but if he's hearing that it's her issue about, like, I need to feel like a grown-up, like I can, but nobody sees that. Well, and here's your parents
How do you know that that's really what she's saying?
Oh, I'm not. I'm giving a reason, right?
Because usually,
if somebody's going to snub a washer dryer, they got some issues. So... I'm saying that there's something else about accepting that gift that embarrasses her.
Right.
Or something, right? Okay? Right. There's something about that embarrasses her. And so if you can get to that, maybe... Now, I don't know if they're going to accept this gift or not.
This was a real situation.
I believe it, because it's just too fucking weird not to be.
It's a real situation. Oh, my God. So... Yeah,
this is why I don't work for the state.
No, sweetheart. There are other reasons you don't work for the state, but we won't get into those.
Okay.
They require security clearance. So the bottom line is that he's saying to her, this is their way of showing us love.
Right.
And making a gift of something, and she turned it into something else.
Into some failure about herself.
Or which he read, he didn't get it as a failure about her.
Of course not. He took it as a
failure about him not being a good provider, because it's really one of those key things.
Well, I think in this situation, it kind of is twofold. It's like, I'm embarrassed, okay, because I have to accept this gift,
or resentful,
because we don't have enough money, which doesn't make me feel proud. And by the way, we did have enough money where I could have felt good about myself, but you weren't a good enough provider.
Right.
Because we had to spend that money on
There's multi layers.
So I think, and I think it's all about, this is where a therapist
your
can help you.
Your corpus callosum is roaring today. Go.
Well, thank you. Sounds dirty.
Yeah.
So.
Or something you should have looked
TMI.
At.
TMI.
Really?
Is there a salve?
Stop it. So. But this is where therapy can help you if couples almost always go into therapy too late, okay? But when you can say what you're mad about, first of all, okay, that's like a first step, right? What a therapist can do is to help you kind of figure out the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Of those things, and help you kind of understand, like, that's what helps you not repeat the fight.
Correct.
For 15 years, is
correct.
You go, oh, that button that you have when I talk about that is really not about me. That's about this over here.
Right.
And you may or may not ever get over that.
Right.
And so at a certain point, I have to be like, oh, fuck, I triggered you. I'm sorry. I get it. Like, I'm sorry. You know, like,
that's
you just,
extremely mature and aware, you know.
Yes. And it's very difficult to do because usually when you trigger somebody, they kind of say nasty shit to you and it's kind of hard to let it mm-hmm. go. It's really hard.
And I want you to remember makes that the, this is comes under the headline of, you know, I put this under Why Good Men Leave. And this yes. is really about the kind of messages that men get and hear sometimes very subtly
yes.
about them being ineffective, not good providers. There's another good example coming up.
Okay, I don't want to bash feminism, and we won't go on about this too long, okay, because I don't like to get political anyway, okay? But here's something that I feel is at the root of some of this, is that if women are so determined to insist that they don't need providing for and protection, mm-hmm. and they're missing the chemical subtleties of a mm-hmm. man's need to do that, the mm-hmm. wiring to do that. Mm-hmm. And I also think they kind of miss out on the joy of being protected and provided for, mm-hmm. even if it's just like if I needed a blanket, mm-hmm. I would, Mark would be like up and getting it for me. That's a blanket. You know, but that's sure. like what he does, because that's his feeling of like, here, I want to provide mm-hmm. this for you. Okay. It's as simple as that. It doesn't mean that you have to be dependent on a man enslaved, you know, by the money. This is like a chemical
dance
that mm-hmm. if you're resisting, you miss out on so much intimacy. It just
absolutely
makes me sad.
Correct.
Like these simple examples, they actually make me sad.
That's what the next one actually deals with.
I don't think that's, not to be political, but I don't think that that's an anti-feminist sentiment at all.
Okay.
No, I really don't. Okay. Well, thank you.
Feminists are feminine. It's not about everybody becoming men.
Because there's an extreme in everything. And like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on this. There is an extreme in everything. And when you go way deep into that message, there is this sort of like, we can have babies and survive and do all this stuff without men, and men are sort of thought of as completely dispensable.
Do you remember the t-shirt? Mm. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle.
Oh my God, I do.
That
I think
was
I
from
do
the
remember
70s.
That
was at the height of the feminist movement. And they were, I grew up in New York. I lived in New York. Everywhere I looked, there was a woman in this
God,
t-shirt.
God, that just that makes me mad.
Okay.
Because you know, I have this whole
because
other podcast.
Because fish don't ride bicycles?
Yes.
Yeah, unless,
that's the point.
Of course, they
that's
have training wheels.
Yeah. Right.
But
circus fish.
Circus fish. Who's the circus fish?
Circus
so,
fish.
Yes, and, but I do think there's
right
there's
about
a little
the
bit of underlying dispensability of men and, God, missing out on so much of this intimacy
so
that could
you,
be taking
this
place.
This is exactly what they're talking about when they come into therapy. They feel dispensable.
Right.
They feel like my wife works. She makes $40,000 more a year than I do. What's my role? What am I supposed to do? Am I just the guy that drags out the garbage and brings in the cans? I can't even get my teenage sons to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, so men are feeling.
I'm not having any sex.
Disenfranchised.
Usually, right?
Absolutely yeah. not having sex. Yeah. Absolutely.
Probably most of these couples that come in are not had sex
a lot,
in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can tell almost immediately what the level of intimacy is when a couple comes in the room.
Okay, so we got another
one. Speaking of.
See,
that's what
days.
this one is about.
Okay.
This third example is
this going to get graphic? Should I block my eyes?
Block your eyes?
Okay.
Maybe just take
I already
headphones
took my jacket off.
Off.
I could take something else off. Okay. Maria's blushing.
There are no cameras in here, right?
No.
Okay. He has attempted to be affectionate several times in the past week. Okay? And it starts with him saying to her, is everything okay with us?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I tried to kiss you when we were doing the dishes yesterday and the day before, and you snapped at me.
Your timing is just bad.
Well, lately it seems like it's always bad.
Sorry.
So
that was very good.
So,
and the Oscar goes.
Okay. So. Here's another situation where it was very quick, could not be quicker, just a few seconds. And what's happened is one of those things that men need so desperately to feel desired by their partner, he's completely shattered by this, by her saying that your timing is always bad. Not only that, but it's also getting the message that he's lousy at reading her needs.
Right.
He can't figure her out. He doesn't understand her. It may not be the case at all, but this is he's feeling really bad.
I don't know why it's so okay to reject men all the time. And I'm not saying that you have to have sex you don't want to have. But I really think that women forget that men are actually sort of. Men are born with the same set of emotions that we are actually. Like mm-hmm. they experience rejection and they experience insecurity and all of those things. And yes, they can even be insecure in their relationship with you, their mm-hmm. wife, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So this idea of kind of you only get affection on my terms and when I'm ready for it. And if not, forgive me for adding this layer if it's not appropriate for some, but if not, you're kind of invading my space or assuming that you get something from me just because I'm your wife. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a little bit of that, like, really? Are you entitled to my affection?
This comes from what you were talking about before, about that whole idea of, you know, the equality of, well, no, wait a minute, just because you want something
right.
doesn't mean that I want it.
Right.
And I don't want it now. And if, you know...
And my God, if he did the same thing,
the last time,
all hell would break loose.
The last time that...
Beware the feminine
I was
wrath.
On your show, the last time, yes. I think we talked about that there... I believe we talked about there more than one way of having sex. I mean, yes. there's, you know, there's making love, there are quickies,
Stop.
So there are all these different ways of being intimate. And what happens sometimes after marriage or a long time in a relationship, mm-hmm. you start to get into a pattern mm-hmm. and... So
if you stray off the pattern.
And you stray off the grid,
mm, yeah.
and the husband's nuzzling you while you're doing the dishes, she's thinking, you know, I don't know, I'm really not, it's going to take me 45 minutes to even get to the mental place where he's at. And
yeah.
he may not even be wanting that at all. So there's a lot of that, too, that goes on where he's just being affectionate. And mm-hmm. it's like, stop what you're doing because I think you're going to want it to lead to something else. And that may not necessarily be the case.
Right. And I think you have to kind of, you have to, like, if you're not in the mood to be hugged in that moment, like, just like when
you stab him with the fork.
Right. When you look, I mean, my kids want a lot of affection from me. My 11-year-old will still, like, throw herself on me to the point where I'm like, don't. Like, she literally chipped her tooth on my shoulder once, you know?
Oh, my God.
And, no, I'm saying she's just like, Mommy! And
she,
like,
throws her dancing.
And, yeah, so
sharp shoulders. Sharp shoulders.
So, I think she just hits off teeth. Okay, really. But, but you know, she wants to cuddle. And lucky me that my kids still love me and they
yeah.
want, you know? And sometimes I'm in the middle of something and I don't want to stop or hug. But I do because I love them and I want them to feel loved and I want them to feel like it's okay to ask me for affection.
Sure.
And again, we're talking about a relationship in which you entered into that was, you know, theoretically an affectionate relationship and it's not unreasonable to expect affection, right? So I'm not saying, like, compromise yourself and do stuff you don't want to do, but my God, like, respond as though mm-hmm. it's a nice thing that they're asking for. And I see what you're talking about
giving
all
you,
the time.
Whether they're giving you do.
Yeah. I see it all the time and I hear about it all the time. And it's
just
really
to argue
yes.
argue on the side of the lady who might spurn those advances. If it's a situation where he isn't giving that affection that isn't necessarily motivated by sex.
Ever. Right, yes.
So the only time he does that, the nibbling on the neck, is because he wants to get
right.
to the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe she has a point.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes. And then we've talked about this. You
yeah.
have to kind of like, got to like, what we call it?
You gotta,
stoke
you
the fires
stoke
a little
the
bit.
Fires
you know, you gotta
all
like,
the time. Keep
yeah.
the, yeah, keep Absolutely. The, keep the
yes.
fires going.
But I do think when you're stoking the fires and you get kind of pushed away.
Yeah, yeah.
Get burned.
Yeah.
You can't stoke the fires and get burned. It's
right.
not going to happen.
That's true.
Okay, we got one more. And I think
we have one
this.
More,
okay.
and this is where he has unloaded the groceries from the car while his wife is changing their toddler.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in and says,
oh, my God, are you crazy?
What?
Andrew, We have a toddler. You don't put grocery bags on the kitchen table. They could easily fall off onto Madison's head.
There is one bag on the table, and it's paper towels, and the rest are on the floor.
You just don't get it.
Okay. So,
I am such a bitch.
One of those.
Yeah, you are being unreasonable right now.
This is just another one of those moments. But, I mean, can you hear, and many of us recognize these. What are you doing?
Sorry. Just getting shit ready.
She's stretching. It's another one of those moments where a guy gets a message like, well, crap. You know, I can't even. Now she's accusing me of being neglectful.
Endangering your child.
Endangering our child. Yes. And being thoughtless. And, you know, forget about the fact that I'm trying to be helpful and participate in what's going on here.
Right.
So
I'm just being a dad. Then,
I'm just what, the paper towels hitting Madison on. I mean, it's, you know, so anyway, yeah, it's another one of the situations. And again, the heading on this was Why Good Men Leave, because there's a lot of this going on very subtly all the time that a wife may not get the signal or the husband may not get the idea that couples therapy might be helpful for them.
Right, because this is actually helpful stuff. Because these are probably two people that are well-meaning.
Absolutely correct.
And you know, I do.
I don't know about the paper towel lady. I got to be honest. That last one, I think she's being ridiculous.
Well, she's a little high strung.
No,
sorry.
I happen to know the parents in this particular scenario.
Okay,
and she is. Just a really, what I would consider a very normal, protective mom. She's the one who has to remind dad sometimes that your computer wires cannot lay across the floor.
Right.
We've got a toddler. So she's more aware. Moms and dads work with kids differently. They
yes.
carry them differently. Mm-hmm. They think about them in the world differently. I saw him with my own eyes last weekend. There was a guy who had his 4-year-old or 5-year-old daughter in the swing at the park, and she had one of those little metal bars going across. So she was in a secure swing, and she's swinging, and he was standing next to her on his iPhone. And he was scrolling messages, and his wife came along and was hysterical about how high she was swinging in this thing and that he was endangering her. Mm. So she comes from a place of protecting my child, and the husband comes from, or the father comes to the place of, let my child experience the world. Mm-hmm. This is why when kids fall, men don't necessarily react. Dads don't react the same way that mothers do. Mm-hmm. And I've seen fights about this, mm-hmm. where how come it doesn't bother you that he just tripped and fell in the living room and the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, somebody told me before I had my first child, they said the difference, you're going to find out the difference between your parenting is how close to the edge is too close to the edge. Like, that's what's going to, that's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's what
sure.
you're going to figure out is different about your parenting, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I think, you know, and I think that's valid, but I think that what is important to remember is that these things, if two people have goodwill and they just sort of find themselves slowly kind of breaking each other down without really having that intent to break each other down, they just kind of don't understand. Like, if you're just going, I just don't understand why he does this, then maybe if that's what you keep saying, maybe you need a third party to help you figure that out. Because if you really do care, and you really do want to understand it, and you don't want to be angry all the time, then I think that you actually can get help and solve these issues.
Absolutely,
you
especially
know?
At
but
this
over,
stage.
If you wait too long,
right.
you tear somebody down long enough,
right.
and this goes both ways, male and female. You know, like, you can keep somebody small
Absolutely.
Or, you know, disregard them. I think, you know, there is a point of no return, I think, sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just too much.
You know when that is, Sophie, that's when respect is gone.
Yeah.
When the respect is gone in a marriage or in a relationship, it's really very, very difficult to restore it or get it
yeah.
to, you know.
Well, especially when it's you know, for many people, they feel like it's just a lot easier to go find somebody else that respects me.
Exactly.
You know?
Respect, appreciate, you know? Someone that
sees that me
is
as
okay
capable, sees me as, yeah.
Sees me and loves yeah. me for the way that I am, not for some raw material that mm-hmm. they thought they married.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, and like I said, I think this can go both ways for both genders, but I do think that the scenario that you're talking about is obviously very common. Mm-hmm. And I really think that if we can, you know, if we can understand, if men and women can understand each other more and they can understand each other's style of communication, then these little things will, well, they just won't do these tiny little drops of damage along the way. And the level of intimacy that you can achieve if you let a man be a man and let a woman be a woman. And I don't mean some like who earns the money shit. I mean chemically. Then it's amazing. Mm-hmm. That man-woman chemistry intimacy is just, it's a beautiful dance. And I want everybody to have it.
We want everybody to dance.
I want everybody to dance. That's what this is all about.
People dancing.
Well, one more point on this, and yes. That is that in each of these situations, I've been really clear about where what the guy is feeling. I've articulated what the man is feeling. Mm-hmm. In these cases, though, he's not intellectualizing this. He's not thinking that. He's not thinking that I'm feeling resentment or I'm not feeling heard. He's just getting angry.
Right.
Yes.
Because so what you have is a situation where his anger and resentment is building, mm-hmm. without even really necessarily understanding what it is he's reacting to.
Sure.
And so with that.
Right, because he's not clear that he hasn't put it in his head. He hasn't figured out in his head that he's feeling minimized. Or that
right.
He might not even.
He doesn't put it to words. He's
right.
He's just having the experience of getting angry or being upset and not necessarily understanding.
Is there like a phrase that they often say that kind of, do they say like, you don't respect me? Or, I mean, is there kind of a common.
You piss me off.
You piss me off. Oh, wow. Even more general.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
She pisses me off.
She's a bitch. And, you know.
And it's simply because he's frustrated because he doesn't know how to say back to her. He doesn't know how to say back to her, honey, that didn't feel really good.
Right.
Because I meant well with that. And because he doesn't, and because he's just getting angry, that's when you start to get the distance, and that's when you start to have the communication breakdown, and that's when they need to come into counseling.
Mm. You hear that, people?
Yep.
Read the signs.
Read the signs.
There you go. Go see Ken. Hey, Ken, how do we find you?
You can email me mm-hmm. at kennewelt@aol.com. That's kennewelt@aol.com. You can also go to my website, kenmft.com. That's kenmft.com.
Fabulous.
And my office number is 818-242-0600.
Okay. Awesome. And that's in you're in Sherman Oaks, California.
I'm in Sherman
yes.
Oaks.
And Todd, tell us.
You should watch the show You're the Worst. You should watch
All About Healthy Relationships.
You should watch the movie Fuzz Track City, and you should watch the Film Pigs web series on Geek Nation.
Fantastic.
And those will solve all your relationship problems.
Oh,
no, I don't know. What about Saw 6?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that'll
yeah,
help.
And watch Saw 6.
Okay,
yeah.
You're going right, to ask me a question.
You can find me.
Now?
Does anybody care how to find me? Does anybody care?
I do.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I feel kind of unheard.
I mean,
where are you when you're
not
here?
Listen to her. And the paper towels are
Facebook.
On the floor.
At Sophie Venable. Please like me. You can find my book, MILF 101, on Amazon and get your free workbook free at makeyourlifefabulous.com. You really should get it because it's free.
Yes.
Thank you both again for being here.
Thanks for having
and
us.
And that's our show for today. Thank you all for listening.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.